Good morning, everyone. Great to be here for the presentation of our full year results for 2025. As usual, here with our CFO, Pascal Perritaz, our CRO, Volker Gloe, and look forward to walking you through the presentation, and then as always, we'll take your questions. We start with the key messages we have for you this morning. First, with continued focus on delivering on our transformation and executing our strategic programs, we have yet again been able to increase net income to for the year to 180 million Swiss francs. Second, our efficiency drive continues to deliver with 19 million of cost savings. We're at the upper end of the guidance that we provided. In a volatile global economy and interest rate climate and a somewhat less predictable macro environment, we have successfully defended our net interest margin and held the line on loss performance with well-calibrated volume price risk management across our product lines. This active portfolio management has led to selective growth across our products. As you know, we're optimizing for profitability. The slowdown in personal loans has thus largely been offset through growth with a bias towards secured assets and less risky segments. Given this overall strong performance and capitalization, we're pleased to announce a proposed dividend increase of 8% to 4.60 franc, an extraordinary dividend of 1 franc. Finally, with revenue growth expected in line with GDP and further significant cost savings, we continue to pace towards our financial targets and expect a 2026 ROE of around 15%. Let me give you the highlights of last year's performance. Net income up 5% as explained, with net revenues and net financing receivables lower, reflecting focus on profitability. Further significant improvements in cost income ratio to 45.2% and 43% in the second half. Loss performance came in at 1.1% in line with the guidance and ROE at 13.7%. This resulted in very strong Tier 1 capital ratio of 17.6%, and with that, the proposal of an ordinary dividend of 4.60 and extraordinary dividend of 1 franc. If we zoom in on the specific segments in the markets, as already mentioned, lending in 2025 reflected the continued shift into more secured business and payments, solid with growth in credit card assets. By product, this means in personal loans, we continued our approach with growth on better performing, more profitable segments and degrowth in less performing segments. This approach is delivering as planned with very solid new vintage risk metrics and more on this later from Volker. We have also held our market share in a contracting market in the second half. Auto continued to grow nicely. Our new leasing platform has further strengthened our proposition, and net financing receivables were up 3%. Cards assets also up slightly, driven by our own proposition and co-brand partnerships. Buy now, pay later core activities were up, as you see in financing volumes. Billing volumes down due to the portfolio consolidations we already explained and articulated. Overall, and in the mix across products with a bias towards secured assets, we continue to hold very solid positions in our markets. A few items to highlight operationally aligned with our dual transformation objectives. As you know, both efficiency as well as generating increased customer value. On the business and operating model simplification, we've aligned our distribution network into regional centers, consolidating our presence and enabling full service capabilities in high visibility locations across the country. We've also driven infrastructure consolidation forward meaningfully. This is an important element of our efficiency programs, retiring and decommissioning numerous major systems and apps, and insourcing others to drive further simplification and business model resilience. We discussed the auto platform in the summer. We're extremely pleased here with significant tangible efficiency increases, higher automation, as well as faster and simpler processing for our partners. Our app, with now over 600,000 enrollments, evolves increasingly into a comprehensive integrated platform for our users. We now serve card, auto, and loan customers through this app and continue to launch value-added services and products on a regular basis. We're also excited about our new and enhanced loyalty proposition for the Certo! Credit Card family. This is a unique program in Switzerland with a comprehensive loyalty ecosystem that allows merchants to connect with targeted customer segments and offers enhanced and seamlessly accessible and visible benefits for our customers. We've already signed up over 30 retail partners and plan to add more as we go along. With that, let me hand over to Pascal to go through the financials in more detail.
Thank you, Holger, and good morning, everyone. I'm pleased to report a strong financial performance for the full year 2025. The net income increased by 5% to 179.6 million, demonstrates the resilience of our business model and the continued benefits of our transformations program. With that, let me go through the P&L. The increase in net income was primarily driven by lower operating expense and continued solid risk performance. The net revenue decreased by 2% to 542 million, reflecting as well the selective growth in receivables in lending and lower interest income in cards following the regulatory change in maximum interest rates. The net interest income decreased slightly by 2%, with the impact of this lower pricing and assets, as well as reduced interest income from cash and securities, partially offset by lower interest expense. We successfully as defended our net interest margin at 5.5%. Commission and fees income amounted to 170 million and remained broadly stable across all revenue streams. The consolidations of the BNPL portfolio and the runoff of the Cumulus credit card migrations portfolio were both successfully completed in 2025. Provisions for losses remained stable at 74 million, resulting in loss ratio of  1.1%, and Volker will further comment soon. Operating expense decreased by 7% to 245 million. And this is mainly driven by the efficiency gains from our strategic transformations, including the completed infrastructure consolidations and continuous progress automation. As a result of this decrease in operating expense, the cost income improved by 2.9 percentage points to 45.2% compared to 48.1% in 2024. Let's now talk about the net financing receivable and the yield development. The net financing receivable declined slightly by 1%, precisely 0.6% to 6.6 billion. And this is reflecting our active portfolio management and the focus on our high quality assets as part of our Cembra DNA. The auto lease and loans, mainly secured business, grew by 3%, supported by the increased used car penetrations and the successful rollout of our new leasing platform. The personal loans declined by 6% due to the selective underwriting and pricing to maintain risk-adjusted returns. Credit cards grew by 1% with stable customer engagement and the continued rollout digital features like scan to pay, installment to pay, or newly launched the loyalty program. Risk-adjusted pricing across auto and personal loans contributed to positively to yield stability through the year in lending. Card yield was impacted mainly by the change in maximum interest rates. Let's now talk as though for provisions for losses, and I would like to hand over to Volker, our chief risk.
Yeah, thank you, Pascal. Loss provisions for 25 came in at 73.6 million. The loss rate stayed stable at 1.1%, so very much comparable with the long-term trend, in line with our expectations and also the guidance that we provided for 2025, when we have been speaking about a loss rate of around 1%. Numbers in 25 continue to be impacted by the past changes in accounting estimates. We've been explaining the need to synchronize collections and write-off procedures before, and its purpose to allow for more collections activities to finalize before writing off an asset. As expected, the effect, so the positive effect on losses, has been more prominent in the first half of the year than the second half. It has also influenced the portfolio quality metrics throughout the year, as shown in the numbers on the 30-plus delinquencies in NPL. A computation of how normalized numbers look, you can see on the upper right of this page. While reported NPL numbers are going up, they are mainly driven by this aforementioned synchronization effect and its mechanics. When taking out this effect, numbers are about stable, though there are certainly some product-specific variations. As this synchronization effect now is tapering off, we expect going forward more stability in reported numbers and not only in the adjusted figures. Generally, we stayed very prudent in our risk-taking in 2025 and have been selective in what areas we wanted to grow and where we, in the current environment, rather stay cautious. We continue to calibrate our strategies in this triangle of risk, price, volumes for hitting the right balance for optimizing profitability. This is then also reflected in our new business quality, where the portion of good quality CR1 and CR2 volumes, especially CR1, is increasing. Our deliberate focus on leasing volumes is impacting this development, while specifically on personal loans, we kept our cautious approach for ensuring an overall strong portfolio quality. As we feel comfortable with the current risk-reward level, we started to adapt our policies to allow for more, though obviously still controlled growth going forward. We do that through data analytics, more granular segmentation, and it allows us to re-enter segments that we deliberately excluded before. This seems justified when looking into the vintage write-off performance, where we see that the recent changes and prudent policies are paying off. That's illustrated on the bottom left, where the latest vintage, the very short curve, is certainly among the best ones. When it comes to outlook, I mean, the current environment might create some difficulties to come with exact predictions for the future. Nonetheless, currently, we would not see any reason why loss performance for 2026 would materially deviate from 2025. In other words, or simpler words, our expectation is that losses for 2026 would again come in at an around 1% loss rate level. And with that, I hand it then back to Pascal.
Thank you, Volker. Let's talk about operating expense. As mentioned before, the operating expense decreased by 7%, and this is reflecting our strong cost discipline and the benefits from the efficiency initiatives. 10% reductions in personnel costs, compensations, and benefits, and this is supported by the continued FTE optimizations, mainly due to the automation initiatives and the optimizations of our operating models. Lower depreciations driven by completions of amortizations of some intangible assets related to past acquisitions and other legacy assets. And we have seen as well as some lower marketing and professional services expense due to the tighter spending discipline. This effect results in a cost-income ratio, as mentioned before, 45.2, and particularly pleased with the second half of the year, a cost-income ratio below 43, as of precisely as of 42.9%. On the next page, the ongoing technology initiatives, including the infrastructure consolidations, automations, reduced amortizations of further legacy assets, and continued discipline expense management will contribute to the 2026 OPEX reductions between 15 to 20 million. With the expense trend and the actions triggered over the last 2 years, it put us firmly on track to reduce our cost base by this amount, 15 to 20 million in 2026, reaching 39 to 41% for the full year 2026, respectively further improvements towards the 39% target cost income ratio. Balance sheet. Our balance sheet remains robust. Net financing receivables slightly lower at 6.6, with the portfolio quality improving with the continued shift towards secured and higher quality assets, as mentioned earlier. Funding increased modestly, driven by continued growth in retail deposits. The shareholder equity increased by 5%, reflecting the net income partially offset by the 125 million dividend. Funding. We further strengthened and diversified our funding base. The retail deposit continued to grow following the successful product redesign, savings product. In 2025, we successfully launched two auto cover bonds issuance of each 150 million, and this is adding a low cost and flexible funding tools to our funding mix. And the end of period of the funding cost improved to 1.33, continuing the trend of lower funding expense supported by the easing of the interest rates environment. Liquidity metrics remain strong with LCR at 744% and NSFR at 116%. Let's talk capital. Our capital positions remain strong with a Tier 1 capital ratio of 17.6%, above our mid-term target of 17%. The risk-weighted assets increased by 3%. This is mainly due to the adoptions of the FINMA Basel III final standards, reducing the Tier 1 by 0.6 percentage points as we communicated as of previously. Reflecting both on one side on the strong financial performance and the confidence in our future earnings power, we will propose an increase ordinary dividend of 8% to 4.60 francs per share and an extra dividend or special dividend of 1% per share, leading to the 17.6 Tier 1 capital ratio mentioned before. Our capital policy remain unchanged, balancing organic growth, disciplined accretions on M&A, and the return of excess capital to shareholders. We expect the Tier 1 capital ratio to be at around 17% by year-end 2026, and dividend growing at least in line with sustainable earning growth. With a consistent strategy executions, disciplined risk management, and strong operation delivery, we enter 2026 with solid momentum. With that, I would like to hand over to you, Holger.
Great, Pascal, thank you. So let me walk you through our strategy execution scorecard here on this next page. As you know, four strategic programs built on our DNA. Some of these I mentioned already, but prudent risk management continues to deliver, particularly against a less predictable market environment. Our funding position is strong with an extended toolkit, as Pascal just explained. We're pleased with our progress in operational excellence, leading to continued improvements in the cost-income ratio on the back of almost 20 million cost reduction in 2025. On the commercial side, we're accelerating product and service innovation. We're excited about the new loyalty proposition, as explained. We've added new partners, and we see good growth in our partnership with Twint. Last not least, we're proud of the work our teams do every day, and the recognition, such as being recognized by Great Place to Work as one of the best workplaces. You can see the KPI we track on the right, both for 2025 and also for the strategic cycle to date, as we're now in the final year, of course, of that cycle, and really mostly on track across growth, capital, cost income, losses, and others, and continued trend towards the target corridor, such as an ROE. Let me bring this together in our outlook for the last year of this cycle, again, along our defined programs. First, you can expect us to continue our careful calibration of risk, volume, price as it relates to originations mix between secured and unsecured business, balance sheet, non-balance sheet income, as well as growth across our products. It's a proven concept for us. Second, we will continue to drive automation and simplification across the company with a focus on personal loans, and continued consistent decommissioning of legacy systems. We've mentioned the related cost reductions for the year. Commercially, we're looking to leverage the Cashgate expansion and product initiatives such as embedded finance and personal loans, and continued benefits from our auto platform for profitable growth in the lending business, and the range of new services launched, the new loyalty program and partnership penetration to drive growth in payments, mostly through commission and fees. On our culture side, we're driving the organization alignment with the new customer and growth division to embed customer centricity even deeper in our operating model to deliver against these initiatives mentioned. Last, we're excited about defining the strategy and key programs for the coming strategic cycle as we take Cembra into its next chapter. And we're planning to have an update for you on this towards the end of the year in the fourth quarter. What this implies for 2026, we expect continued resilient performance, with net revenues growing in line with GDP, stable net interest margin, further significant improvement in the cost-income ratio, stable loss performance, and strong capital, overall delivering an ROE of around 15%. This implies substantially all KPI we set out around 4 years ago to land at or within range of the objectives we communicated at the time, including cumulative EPS growth, before we head into the next strategic cycle, including further performance improvements going forward. Now, a few words about the change in our management board. And it is with sincere appreciation that we mark the conclusion of Pascal's tenure here at Cembra. Over the past 8 years, he's played a pivotal role in strengthening our financial position, reinforcing our capital discipline, supporting the consistent execution of our strategy. On a personal note, I have greatly valued our partnership and the trustful collaboration that we've built. Together with this outstanding team, we've achieved a great deal since we've worked together. Pascal leaves Cembra in a strong position, and his contribution will have a lasting impact. I'd like to thank him sincerely for his commitment and leadership and wish him, of course, all the best for the future. At the same time, I'm very pleased to welcome Christoph Glaser as our new CFO, effective March 1st. Christoph brings more than 2 decades of experience in finance, risk, and operations across international and listed organizations with deep expertise in consumer finance and lending. So he combines strong and broad technical competence with leadership experience and strategic perspective. Given this, he is a strong addition to our leadership team as we continue to execute our strategy and drive the next phase of Cembra's development. With that, thank you for listening to the presentation, and we look forward to your questions now.